I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
First cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap for this week's Valero Texas Open. Joining me to break it all down, Mark Immelman is here. What's up, Mark?
How's it, Rick? How are you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm all good. I'm in the throes of Masters preparation right now while I'm watching some Valero Texas Open on the TV. So it was a good day.
Do you find it difficult to stay in the moment in round two in San Antonio as opposed to looking ahead?
What, you're trying to say I'm like Rory McIlroy and trying to hit my high four iron into 13 with a draw? Honestly, I'm sort of here and there, but when I watch TV, I'm the same guy. I'm always watching some one or other show with my phone at my side. So I guess I multitask fairly well.
All right. Fair enough. The waves were what we expected today, Mark. It was a little bit backwards on Thursday, but Friday gave us that afternoon wind that played about a stroke and a quarter more difficult. That is not unusual for Texas. It was what was expected. It was what was in the forecast. And for once, it came true.
I was curious as I was watching it, then because I was watching balls hit the greens, because I watched the PGA Tour live show in the morning and you could see they were sort of somewhat receptive, but then bouncing a little. Then the afternoon coverage, this was like a tennis ball on the greens. And I heard Rory make the comment to Smiley that there's a lot of thatch in the surfaces. And that made sense then, because whenever there's some growth underneath and the greens aren't sculpted or they aren't brushed up when they're mowed, it can get sort of bouncy. And so, I mean, I was seeing some balls were bouncing crazy high. And then you get one on a breeze that's going and then you get the hard bounce. It can turn really difficult. And that's how I remember that course, because I've done this event for radio a few years ago. And I remember being, when I first got the course, I'm like, whoa, this place is hard. You stand on the tee and you see nothing but the sort of Texas mesquite trees and cacti and rocks. and it's narrow, and then the course just gets dry so quickly. I'm like, whoa, this place is difficult. And it looked like it became that place this afternoon.
Well, we'll get to this afternoon here in just a few minutes, but let's start with the morning, because the afternoon wave on Thursday turned right around and went out early on Friday. And Jordan Spieth finished in a flurry yesterday, Mark, and he started and just was absolutely shot out of a cannon. Birdies on 10, 11, and 12. Those were his first three holes of the day. He was four under through five. He had a Spiethian second nine with three bogeys and three birdies. Add it all up, it is a four under 68. And Jordan Spieth was one of the biggest movers currently, with a few golfers still out on the course, in a tie for 10th.
Yeah, I think he will be one of the biggest movers at day's end, because 68 around this course is really good. I was on an HQ show this morning and they asked me for my way too early Masters pick. And then they asked me for my who's flying under the radar for the Masters kind of thing. And I didn't even, when they asked the question, I didn't even blink. I was like, Jordan Spieth. The guy hasn't been playing very well at all. When I watched him play at the Players, I thought he was downright ragged. The golf swing looked okay, but he just looked uncomfortable. In fact, the week prior, we had him on feature groups coverage, and every shot there was not really uplifting commentary afterwards, because he obviously was mishitting balls and stuff like that. And then he misses the cut at the Valspar, where he's won before. I think he finished second to Gary Woodland way back in the day. And right. And then I was like, okay, there's something amiss. And then, of course, the first round, which was all over the show, including in hole-in-one, I thought it was kind of more of the same. But then I'm like, okay, this is Jordan Spieth as it pertains to the Masters. You drive that dude down Magnolia Lane, and he just finds something. Because the Masters doesn't ask you to hit regular shots. It's kind of like this golf course. You got to flat balls. You got to hit balls that land 20, 30 feet short of the flag. Sometimes you're not playing to flags. And you got to be creative, you know, with trajectory and spin. And that's right up Jordan's alley. He's actually admitted to me that's when he plays his best, when he does that stuff. So I'm like, yeah, Jordan Spieth. Then lo and behold, as I say that, my producer in my ear goes, oh, by the way, he's four under through six. and I was like, well, look, I hadn't looked at the scorecard, but you sort of get the sense that sort of stuff's percolating. You know, he's won this event at this course before. Remember that victory was on the heels of a mammoth I don't want to call it a slump, but it was kind of a slump where he hadn't played very well and hadn't had the win. Then he turns around and cobbles it together, wins there, and that's difficult given just how demanding the course is from tee to green. So he obviously has good vibes around the place, and it was good to see him put together a pretty solid round today.
Yeah, one of the better rounds of the day, up 70 spots on the leaderboard from 66-1 to 28-1. Not as much of a big mover, but still an impressive 69 was Russell Henley, Mark. And he didn't have to move far because he was already inside the top 10 after round one, and a pair of 69s keeps him right there. He's a handful of shots off the lead. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but currently in a tie for third, Henley. I described him earlier this week as like a better putting Corey Connors. He does the things that Corey Connors does well to win at this golf course. And here's Russell Henley back in the mix.
I would, you could probably comment better than me on Russell, because you know the data on the guy, but if you just gave it Patrick McDonald's eye test, it's like he was made for this golf course. He's accurate off the tee. He hits a pretty flat ball that runs along the hard Texas ground. It's like if you had to look at Russell and you'd be like, this dude grew up in Texas. Ball doesn't go very high, runs along the ground. He's creative around the greens, and he puts these fast greens pretty well. So I wasn't too surprised when I saw him up the leaderboard. I was sort of somewhat disappointed I missed on my one and done pick and not went with him, because it makes a lot of sense around this golf course for Russell.
Three birdies on the front, the second nine of the golf course, and then two birdies and two bogeys is how he gets to 69. And Mark, again, that quick turnaround. Rory McIlroy was good on Thursday afternoon. He certainly left a couple of strokes out there, but he puts together another very clean card on Friday morning. He's now made just one bogey this week. That was on 16, the par three, which he played as his first nine today. And Rory hasn't been spectacular. In fact, he played the par fives today at just one under, but he is in the mix and doesn't have his best stuff, but has enough of it.
I am interested. It's crazy because Rory's been like whack-a-mole Rory since he came over here from Europe. Because at one stage he was struggling with a driver, believe it or not. Then he develops that flighted driver at Riviera, leads the field in strokes gained off the tee, does the same thing 2 weeks later at the Cognizant Classic. Then he's putting horribly. Then he gets the putter figured out. Then the iron game goes in the tank. And so I was watching the iron game closely. To targets like these where you cannot afford short sides, especially that long and left miss he had going on. And I really liked what I saw. And there was one shot that really was telling to me, and that was late in his round, was to the par 3 7th. And the wind's out of the right, the flag's cut front left, there's a bunker left. Now, a few weeks ago, Rory would have tweaked that draw too much and missed it to the left-hand side. In fact, I saw him down in West Palm miss a few targets with wedges to the left, almost incomprehensible. And he sets this draw out to the right, perfect. Never crosses the line, or it's drawing to the target line, never crosses over it, hits a ridge, peels in there to 8 feet, doesn't make it. But when he hits a 7-iron or whatever it was like that, I'm like, okay, we're good. Because as Rory is going, you know, there's one goal in mind. Let's not beat around the bush. He'd love to win here, but he has eyes on next week, and to be able to hit that little twirly 7-iron in there, not have it cross the flag to the left with a right to left wind, that speaks to someone who sort of understands where the face and the path are during the swing, and that's key to a good iron striking.
Yeah, very interested to see how he plays this weekend. Very interested, and then obviously to see how he plays next week. Rory McIlroy at this moment in solo fifth. He is 6 shots off the lead. Mark, usually we save the guy who's leading for a while, but he played in the morning wave and he's doing something pretty darn special right now. And that's Akshay Bhatia, who opened up with a Thursday 63. And it was a little turbulent out of the gate on Friday because he played his opening 9 at 1 over. And then he was able to salvage this thing, play his second 9 in a clean 3 under 33. He is at this moment, Mark, 4 shots clear of everybody else in the field. Denny McCarthy is still out on the golf course. Denny McCarthy could put a dent in this lead, but Akshay, of everybody who's in, 5 shots clear on them. He's putting on a clinic in Texas right now.
He was putting on a clinic last week too. In fact, here's the backstory to it, because I was working the Texas Children's Houston Open, and he was in our feature group's coverage, and I watched him hole a couple of iron shots. Every ball he hit was the right distance, and he just putted horribly. And I looked at my announce colleague, and I was like, jeez, I'm so impressed. Because to me, Akshay was always the raw kid. You know, a lot of speed, very creative always, wasn't afraid to hit shots. But all of a sudden, I watched this guy, and he was dialed. And I couldn't sing his praises enough. It's like my mindset on Akshay had turned some. He wasn't just a talented kid. He was now a crafty professional with lots of weapons. And then I have another colleague who lives out in Los Angeles, and every round we have a little head-to-head sort of pick a golfer for the low score of the day. And he's well up on me at the moment. And so he texts me Wednesday evening. He goes, okay, what's your pick for tomorrow? And I go, Billy Horschel, which didn't work out. And I get a pick midway through the day from him, this guy. His name's Art, who's been in golf broadcast since Moby Dick was a minnow. He says to me, why didn't you go with your boy Bhatia? You've been crowing about this guy for the last 7 days. And I was like, yeah, how dumb am I? So that sort of speaks to where this guy is. And just the way he's looking right now, he's sounding poised. He's looking incredible. Look. Playing on the weekend with a lead is a different thing. But just the way he's hitting it and the way he's playing, he looks invincible. Now, I know it becomes mental and emotional over the weekend, but right now he's got himself in a fantastic spot.
Playing on the weekend with a lead. And also, Mark, there is one way for him to get into the Masters next week.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, look, you think about that some, but I would like to think now that I've sung his professional praises that he'll keep his nose to the grindstone. But what I did hear too is that he admitted in an interview, he goes, look, getting in the Masters would be great. He goes, but I have other goals for this year. And the Masters wasn't necessarily one of them, if I read between the lines. So he's like, I'm just doing my thing, and I've got some goals to achieve. So I was like, well, good on you, man. If you just keep doing your thing, you're going to be fine.
That's the thing is, if the goals are winning, if the goals are taking every round seriously, they start to work together, right? You fail on the weekend, you find a victory. Oh, I just happened to get into the Masters, even if that wasn't a goal of mine. We're going to continue this conversation. We've got a superstar on a very sweaty cut line right now, and we have a two-time winner of this event who flipped the script on his round and came in like a firecracker. We're going to talk more about the Valero Texas Open, but first, we're going to take a quick word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
And we're back. Mark, I would love to get your thoughts on Colin Morikawa. And we are, this is live right now. He is playing the final hole of the day, number 18. It's a par five. He is right on the cut number, tied for 65th at one over. Now, it has been an ugly Friday. He bogeyed three of his first four holes, and he is birdieless at the moment. So maybe he'll be able to take advantage of the par 5 18th and get himself into the weekend and maybe find a little bit of magic. But this has not been a good day. It's not been a good week. And it really hasn't been a good start to 2024 for Colin.
Well, okay, first off, I've actually been talking about this for a while, how despite the numbers, I just didn't feel like the ball striking was there. Because when I covered him on the golf course, every ball might have been on the green, but it kind of didn't look convincing. Not the guy I'd seen. And balls were sort of wiped and stuff like that. And then I heard, and don't quote me on this, but I heard he had then ditched his longtime coach and he went to somebody else. So now we're in the throes of making adjustments because you don't just go to another instructor and they tell you the same thing. As a former elite instructor, our job's to give you something that's going to work, right? And if I tell you exactly the same thing as what the previous coach was saying, you know, what good am I kind of thing? So there's expectation there. So I'm expecting this is a guy who's in the throes of making changes. It's in a pretty big stretch of golf right now. Remember what happened at the Players when he was good in round one, but then from then on, it was just nasty. He didn't play very well at all. And then you get to a course that's difficult with some crosswinds and stuff. And if you want to make life difficult for a golfer who's not there golf swing wise, You make the players bouncy and you make it breezy and gusty. Because to play well in gusty winds, you have to strike the thing flush and you have to be committed and convinced about what you're doing. So I don't want to say I sort of would forecast this, but if a person's struggling with their technique, even a star like Colin, it's just going to be tough sledding. So I hope as a golf instructor, and I hope for Colin because he's a friend and I love him. He's just one of the best, that he finds his way. He finds his way out of this kind of thing because he does have the chops. We know that. But when you're in between golf swings and stuff and you're questioning and all those sorts of things going on, all of those things end up in your fingertips, which control golf clubs, and then stuff gets difficult.
Very big cut implications right now. There are 84 at the moment. Golfers at plus one or better. There's about 10 guys still out on the golf course at plus one. The guys that are finishing on the second nine are gonna play a par five. Matt Fitzpatrick, Colin Morikawa, both at plus one. They might need to get to even. So there might be a couple of big names, Mark, that are not here on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, I think I might have heard someone say on the show, maybe it was on PGA Tour Live, one of the analysts were talking about one of the stars who was going to miss, and he goes, well, that might be a good thing. You get on the plane tonight, you go straight over to Augusta. It's wonderful practice facilities there, and you start preparing there. And you get, because the thing about Augusta National, as you go there every year, as you know the place, but you still got to kind of learn the place. So practice rounds there are awfully important because there's so much nuance to the golf course. So a lot of Monday, Tuesday is figuring out the course if they haven't been there before the time. But now if you get a day or two early there, go and work on the technique so that you can use the other days to prepare for the course, it may be a blessing in disguise.
Ricky Fowler, Tom Kim, probably the biggest names, Billy Horschel, who will not be around for the weekend. Those guys are, yeah.
Yeah, that was my pick. One and done. Horschel, yeah. And he was great last week, by the way. Man, he struck it beautifully. And he's been putting awesome. I mean, this is a complete aberration. I don't know what on earth happened.
I don't know what happened either. And I don't know what happened to Corey Connors at about the 14th hole. Actually, I do. And I can describe it to you because, Mark, this was a very turbulent start for the two-time champion of the Texas Open. And he made bogey on his first two holes. He went out in one over. He bogeyed 10. He bogeyed 13. He was three over. He was outside the cut line. This looked like it was going to be a pretty ugly MC for Corey Connors. He makes eagle on 14, which featured a shot that he kind of just banged into the flag stick, Mark, and it sat up on the lip for about 7 seconds and then it dropped. So yeah. little champion's luck there. But then he parlays it with birdies on 15 and 16. He's playing number 18 right now. He's in the greenside bunker in two. Maybe he adds another circle to the card there. And Corey Connors, in a blink of an eye, is back inside the top 10.
Well, that left bunker to the front hole location on 18 is not that hard. So he should get a decent look. But I'll tell you what, that eagle was lucky. But to birdie 15, straight downwind with the front hole location, you have got to be awfully lucky. I mean, that's next to impossible. Then watching the coverage there on 16, the par 3, I mean, balls were flying there like they were jets off the tee. And it's warm, it's dry, the ball's downwind, and people are hitting it over the back every single time. So that little run that he had was almost miraculous in a way. And if he can finish it off, man, he'll be sitting pretty for another weekend run.
Well, sitting the prettiest is one Akshay Bhatia. And Mark, the odds makers have Akshay at plus 130.
Okay, that's stupid. That's ridiculous.
The Texas Open. Right now, he's four shots clear of everybody else. Denny McCarthy's still out on the golf course. Denny McCarthy has the second shortest odds here. Is that right? No, that is not right. I'm sorry. Rory McIlroy has the second shortest odds at 7-1. He's six shots back. Russell Henley is 9-1. He's five shots back. And then Denny McCarthy is 11-1. He's four shots back and still out on the golf course. We saw a pretty big shakeup and guys move up 70 some odd spots on the leaderboard on Friday. It's certainly possible for that to happen again on Saturday, Mark, if there's somebody farther down the leaderboard that tickles your fancy.
Yes, Brendan Todd. He's a little up from where you are there. He's won in Texas. I remember calling it at Las Colinas. It was summer. It was warm. It was bouncy. It was windy. And the way he plays just accurately down the fairway, very much in the Russell Henley ilk. So both he, both Brendan and Russ, I feel like they'll be around come reckoning time. Akshay has got this thing to close out. A lot of golf left, but he's got to be the favorite, but not plus 130. But I feel like Brendan, BT, or Russ, those are good to look at. And I like Brendan given the number.
We haven't really seen Akshay in this position before, right? You know, big lead going into the weekend in a, not only the you know, what would be the biggest win of his career, but also what it would unlock for him in both the short term and the long term. I'm interested to see how he reacts to this moment.
Every win at the highest level is a life changer. It really is, because it's not just getting into signature events and getting into the Masters. You know, there's all sorts of bonuses with your sponsors, and you get the exemption, the multi-year exemption, and that frees a golfer up to manage their schedule better and start to work. It gives you almost the mandate to work on things you feel like are necessary, and then you can kind of devote some time to that. So it'll be a life changer for him. And I feel like, again, watching the guy who played last week, he can only go from strength to strength, because the kid I once saw many years ago is not Akshay Bhatia anymore. This guy last week was poised. He was wonderfully in control. He putted horribly and still finished like 11th or whatever the case might be. So this could be very special for him.
All right. Well, we've got a cut line to decide. We've got a moving day to decide, and we've got a winner and maybe a new ticket punched to Augusta National to decide. We'll be back after each and every one of those rounds to break it all down. For now, big thanks, producer Jake, doing all the hard work for us tonight. Much appreciated. That right there, Mark Immelman. You can find him at Mark_Immelman. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.